Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. It was named one of the 10 best books of 2025 by both the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post, an epic historical tale about a young Polynesian girl who sets out to save her people. Pulitzer Prize-winning author Adam Johnson's The Wayfinder has captivated readers since its release last year. And CapLit, a Sacramento-based reading series and literary organization, will bring parts of it to life this weekend at the Clara Auditorium in Midtown, where Sacramento actors will read excerpts from the book on stage. The series opens its season this Saturday. Adam joins us now, along with Vetele'inga Funga, who will perform a reading from The Wayfinder. Welcome to you both. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Hello, Vicky. Thank you so much for having us. This is really
exciting.
Thanks,
Vicky. This is Adam. It's great to be on the show.
Yeah, it's so special. Adam, I want to start with you. Where does your passion for writing and storytelling come from? Where does it begin?
Oh my gosh, I come from a family of storytellers in South Dakota who always enchanted me with their stories, but there were also missing stories. You know, there were stories from my Lakota side of the family that never made it down. And I do believe what drives a fiction writer are the things that have to be imagined, that only literary fiction can construct.
When did The Wayfinder begin taking shape?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. You know, I was in New Zealand, Aotearoa, for a reading, and I got invited to a pahiri, which is, you know, a welcoming ceremony by some Maori in Auckland. And there was a storyteller there, and she told a story that was like 2 hours long. It was the most spellbinding, entrancing story I'd ever heard. Later, I would understand why her story was so powerful, that it was a personal story. It was a sacred story. It was a story for people. It was a story that had been handed down through generations. And afterwards, I spoke with her, and she just casually mentioned, all her ancestors who had come to Aotearoa from Tahiti 950 years ago. And she knew the name of her direct ancestor, of everyone who landed in the boat with her, and the captain of the boat. She named all 22 people in the boat. And it really made me think about the power of oral tradition. And I was raised in the written tradition. It made me question how strong the written word actually was.
Mm. Yeah, we've had conversations on Insight about oral traditions and oral history, and that can be a dying art. So it's wonderful to hear that you had that experience. It's very much alive.
Well, I wondered afterward, you know, if I'd pulled a book off a shelf, a dusty old tome from the 11th century, would I have trusted its contents more than the story this woman told that had been carefully handed from generation to generation 66 times, right? And never dropped. I also made me wonder, like, if our own constitution was oral. If, as a people, it supposedly holds all our values as a society, what if it was something that was alive and that we repeated it every weekend? Wouldn't it be more adaptable and easy to change and also held dear to us?
Well, that's where Vetele'inga comes in. You're making your CapLit debut this year. Tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into theater and acting?
Acting first came to me when I was part of the youth group at my church growing up. We were always singing songs, and that was kind of where I got most of my stories from my older folks, was through the church and through members of the church and through the elders and the pastors. It's really interesting to be a part of this piece that goes over that oral history, and it kind of dives deeper than when there were missionaries coming through to the islands, which is kind of a history that's been lost to time. So seeing that Adam had even come out and put this literature down on paper is really interesting, and I'm excited to be a part of this. But after the church, I started doing theater at Miraloma High School and met Daniel Soto there, and got most of my acting tips and tricks from him, and then moved on to American River College, where I'm now a scenic building intern, helping build the sets over there for their productions, And I even put on some assemblies for the Mosquito and Vector Control District, where we teach kids about mosquitoes. But it's really cool to see some representation come out in the theater medium.
It seems like pretty serendipitous, such a great moment for you, given that this is your first time with Cap Lit. You are Polynesian, and this is the role that you're taking on.
Mm-hmm. One of my mentors in the theater community, Janice Stevens, she actually reached out to me while I was stage managing for a show at American River College. And she let me know about this opportunity, and I was right on to it because, I mean, I was just talking to my partner about how I wish there were more roles that were that represented like the South Pacific cultures. I oftentimes find myself in roles of color, but not particularly my own self-identifying, identity. As a Samoan man growing up in Sacramento, I think most of what I see in Pacific Island cultures is through like church conventions or through just myself and my other Polynesian friends that I run into, and little tidbits of relation here and there, but nothing on the stage.
Well, tell us about the role you're stepping into.
So I'll be reading for Javier, the excerpts that follow Javier, who's an expert wayfinder who has had years of experience on the waters in the South Pacific. And he's been charged by the King of Tonga to teach all his wayfinding ways to the King of Tonga's second son. And so in a way, he's banished both this wayfinder and his own son into isolation to pick up everything that this wayfinder knows. And unknowingly, there are things that the second son doesn't realize, like the nuances he doesn't realize are there, like why he has done this to his own son. I picked up a copy of the book actually from Sac City, but I haven't had my own head dive into it yet. But I can guess there's a lot of violence, I believe, that's coming this way for Javea and the second son.
And you'll be sharing a little excerpt to give people a taste of what they're in for on Saturday. So please, take it away.
The second son said, "I saw you talking to those fishermen from Lifuka this morning. Did they bring news of your wife?" All who dwelled upon the water seemed to have an opinion as to the fate of Javea's wife. Some said she was sick, some healthy, while others declaimed her already dead. The two Itongas Matsupule assured Javea that his wife Vaivao was alive and well. The fishermen had shared a different piece of news with Javea, that the Tu'i of Lifuka and the king's brother Aho had arrived on Tongatapu. Javea had once sailed with these men, steering the courses for their foreign incursions. Few men had been more fierce. Few held less regard for life, including their own. And that had been 9 years ago. Javea could only imagine what they were like now, having journeyed a decade further into the sea lanes of brutality. "I know you're worried about your wife," the second son said. "If the news is bad, perhaps I could talk to my father about letting you visit her." Javea cleaned his hands in the sand. He didn't like to talk about his wife with the king's boy. He especially didn't like to speak of his own sons. The only way he could still possess his family was to keep them from the royals of Tongatapu. "If the news is bad, they'll just bring me her bone." Javea needed to initiate the second son as a full-fledged navigator. Once he hung an Ika Mata'u fishhook pendant around the boy's neck, the young man would be marked as a master pilot, one worthy of making any passage under any conditions. Then Javea would be free. He could do it today. He could give the boy his fishhook necklace and be done with it. Except for one thing. The second son wasn't ready. If the boy later got himself killed or lost or worse, imperiled his passengers, Javier's entire family would pay the price. And it wouldn't matter if Vaivao were already dead, for the Tu'itonga had ways of punishing even the deceased.
Thank you so much. Adam, we only have about 30 seconds left, but you've been part of Stories on Stage before. I mean, this is just a taste of what people are going to be experiencing on Saturday. It must be really special for you as well to see it come to life in this way.
I can't wait for this event. It filled me with such joy to hear that reading. You know, the novelist's life is a lonely life, but the oral tradition is collaborative. Everyone in a community comes together to make a story happen and to transmit it. And we're going to see a novel come to life in a new way at Kaplan.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Vicky.
It was a great joy. Trust me.
Adam Johnson is a Pulitzer Prize-winning author. Excerpts from his new novel, The Wayfinder, will be presented by actors, including Vitala Inga Funga, at the season premiere of Caplet this Saturday, March 21st, at the Clara in Midtown Sacramento. And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests and events at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. And if you want to email us, we're at insight@capradio.org. I'm Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.